European markets are largely trading in negative territory today, with the US markets also looking to be starting their session in the red. The local all-share index ended the day in positive territory, however, up 0.93% at 56,090 index points, with pretty much all sectors up. Interestingly, the gold counters were also up a healthy 2.2% on the day. Oil prices are up around 1%, with Brent crude oil trading just shy of $60 a barrel. The local currency continues to be on the back foot, however, with the rand trading around 14.92 against the dollar, 16.53 vis-a-vis the euro, and still very weak against the British pound at 19.16. Well, to break down the markets for us, I'm joined in studio by David Shapiro. He's the deputy chairman at Sasfin Securities. Welcome back, David.
Nice to be back.
Good to see you. So it looks
like from Trump.
It looks like a bit of a mixed picture. Our local equities are firing ahead today, but Europe and the US seemingly subdued. What's the story?
To give you an opinion, I think what the market's telling us is we've seen the worst. And why would I say that? Why would I say I've seen the worst? Because today we get news of load shedding, which could continue for couple of days, for a couple of weeks, we don't know. Remember, this was the reason that we went into contraction, or our economy contracted in the first quarter.
Yes.
And so when you think about that, you say, why would the market go up? And yet we went up. And it went up on a broad front. Yes, admittedly, the rand weakened.
Yes.
Okay, so with the rand weakening, it did give a lot of our influential shares. When I say influential, those that can actually move the index went up. Went up because of the weaker rand.
Yes.
But other shares also went up.
That's
in other
right.
words, all those who were not affected by the rand also
The South
improved.
African Inc.
Yeah. South African Inc. did better. And you say, hold it, against the backdrop that we've seen, I know you're going to talk about, you mentioned retail sales in the, you know, in your introduction.
Yes.
And when you start to look at the fundamentals, they're not pointing to a good quarter.
Yeah.
You know, third quarter, we could be down again. We could be contracting. And yet the market's going up. So what the market's saying is, hold on a thing. We've seen the worst. Things can't get, you know, worse than they are at the moment. They can only get better. And buyers are starting to come through as well.
Yeah.
That's the only interpretation I can give.
Just to tag on to what you're saying, I mean, you say that we could go down, but if we reflect on what happened in Q1 in the month of March, yeah. where we had, it was about a week of load shedding, wasn't it? That was enough, like you say, for us to get into a 3.1% contraction.
Because it knocks industry
backwards.
That's
right, yeah. exactly.
You
it
know,
knocks
You have
everybody.
To close the machines. Starting up takes time. It also causes, particularly in the retail industry, in the services industry, in the hospitality industry, it causes, you know, you have to close your restaurants and so on. So it's very, very disruptive.
That's right.
And yet, so I think if we think about it, I think this third quarter that we've just gone through and the quarter that we're going into could be hurt by this. We're already in the fourth quarter. But in the third quarter, you had manufacturing down, surprisingly. You had mining down, retail sales, which we're talking about, so-so. So I think, you know, if this continues, we're heading in for a very, very poor second half. And I'm not sure whether the 0.5% that we're supposed to grow, according to the Reserve Bank, or 0.6, that we'll actually meet it. But you need the economists for that. I'm just giving you a very layman's perception of how things are. But the market's just shrugging it off and quite happy to bumble along.
Yeah, often the markets don't correlate with what's happening in the real economy anyway. So what's the latest on the Brexit story as we get to that crunch date of the 31st of October?
Still uncertain. We thought we had a deal. We thought that there was going to be resolution over the Irish border. Don't ask me to explain it because it's complicated. But
The backstop.
The backstop. And, you know, because the Irish don't want it closed. They want that. They want goods to flow freely, and also to people to flow freely, which you can't do if you have Brexit because Northern Ireland is part of the UK.
Yes.
Anyway, we thought we had resolution, but the Democratic Party, DUP, Union Party of Northern Ireland, who the Conservatives thought would vote in favour of it, you know, Johnson thought would, are saying not so fast. Not so fast. They haven't made a decision whether they'll back a new deal. So uncertainty is still there. And so we go on, you know, backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards, not knowing where this is going.
Yeah, no, very negative indeed. And then EOH, they came out with their results yesterday. They were quite poor. They suffered a headline loss, and we did speak to them on this platform. But it seems as though that stock was about up about 18% today. So clearly, the markets like what you know what they were saying.
Well, I don't know when I read the results, even though there was when they talk about continuing operations and things are okay. I mean, if you read between the lines, they've got massive debt. They've still got corruption overhanging them and the need to address these issues, which came out in the Edward Nathan, Ian, what's it?
Ian,
E-N-S. E-N-S, yeah.
The lawyers.
I know them as Edward Nathan. I can't remember the short name.
Yeah. But,
the E-N-S report. There's still issues there.
Yeah.
I think that are going to drag their name and also keep it's a very hard turnaround story. But I suppose there's always people who look for distressed situations and believe things are going to go better and bought them up. Mm. I still remain on the sidelines, you know, watching where this company is going to go. It's been a tragic story. And it's not Stephen Francola's, you know, making at all. He's just coming
in. Well, he came in to clean up.
He's trying to clean up and he's probably saying, well, why did I leave the bank? You know, why didn't stay where I was?
He thought he could be Superman. Retail sales, you touched on that. Mm. So retail sales for August were up 1.1%. On an annual basis. But when you look at it relative to the previous months, it's a downward trend. Any relationship that you're observing with what's happening in the retail sector?
Well, I think it's telling you things are getting tougher. Mm. When you look at retail reports, I think there again, things are stabilizing. But I don't think there's going to be any massive turnaround in consumption in this country. And I think this tells you either on a month-to-month basis, that's comparing a month a year ago with a month now, or on the basis of year-on-year, where you take the full year, you know, to August versus a full year. I think it shows you that it is trending down and things are getting tougher. And it's up to the retailers just to position themselves for what lies ahead.
Mm.
I think things are tough here.
No, things are tough.
And yet, that's why I'm saying, against that, when you look at the fundamentals and you look at the market, it still seems that you know, people are saying, okay, worst over. It can't get much worse than this and that.
So, and what's really worrying,
correlation.
What's really worrying, we've got an interview coming up next, is that, you know, the National Credit Regulator says that the consumer is in debt to the tune of 1.9 trillion rand. So if they're under stress already debt-wise, and they're sensible.
How do they pay it off?
How do they pay it off? And how do they go into the shops and buy more stuff?
Well, that's what I can't understand about the shops, you know, that they actually keep extending credit and that. And I know that most operations are very, very tight and the banks are getting tighter. But one's got to start questioning companies like Capitec and that. And I'm not suggesting, you know, one's got to look very, very carefully at how they handle a situation like that.
Yeah.
And the issue is that this is bad debt. When I say bad debt, it's not debt. It's not people going to a bank to borrow to develop a business.
Yeah.
This is for consumption.
Mm.
This is to feed yourself and maybe have things that you don't really need in that. And I think that's a worrying source as well. That it's not investment type debt, you know, which you can live with.
Yeah, no, it's a bit worrying indeed. And then what's your expectation for budget later on this month? Midterm budget?
Tough. It's going to be very hard. And you can sense that from the way that government are acting now. You know, they realize that there's got to be a plan put in place that's going to turn things around. And I think even on the revenue side, I think things are perhaps going to be lower than expectations.
Mm.
So how we get out of it is very hard. You know, what do we do to get out of it? And thank goodness I am where I am here, getting old, sitting in a studio talking to you and not having to be in a Treasury building in Pretoria trying to figure out, okay, what do we do next? As long as they don't tax me, I don't mind.
Yeah. Mm. Just coming back to the Eskom story, I was speaking to Ted Blom earlier. He's an energy expert. And basically he was saying that Eskom is in big trouble, bigger trouble than they've communicated to the public, and that in actual fact, this dribble drabble of giving Eskom, you know, little bits of money here and there is just not enough. They probably need about 1.4 trillion rand.
Trillion?
Or something like that to actually sort out their problems. It sounds like ridiculous.
Well, we can't afford that.
We can't afford
400 to 500 billion, which is we know about.
Yes. So he was talking about us just, you know, giving up and going to the IMF.
It looks that way. You know, it looks like you're going to have to go that way and you're going to have to suffer the consequences. And the consequences are political.
Yeah.
Because when the IMF lend you that money, remember, they want it back.
Yes.
And they want to ensure that you've got policies that will ensure that you pay it back.
That's
enable you to pay it back.
And the reason I raise that is because of the question that you posed, which is, so, what do we do? Because we keep on having this recycled conversation.
Well, we know what we have to do. We know we have to. You have to lay off staff. You have to make the Eskom a lot more efficient. You have to change management there. And I'm talking change management in terms of upskilling and so on. And that's painful. And that's painful politically.
Yes.
And that's what we don't want to do. So we keep avoiding the issue. But one, if it is over a trillion, I mean, then, I don't know, then we just pack up, sell this market, buy dollars.
David, thank you so much for joining me in studio. That was David Shapiro. He's the Deputy Chairman at Sasfin Securities.